SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. We're breaking it down. The Thursday night throwdown has begun. The countdown to kickoff continues. Teddy Covers will step up and in, I believe, straight from the strip, the Westgate, to be specific. Is it the Westgate? Is it the Superbook? Is it the LVH? Is it the Hilton? I don't know. I know that Elvis played there once, and I know that I've spent a lot of time there over the years. But honestly, right now, as a betting man, if you ask me, yeah, what's the name of the place? I'm going to Westgate. I guess it's the Superbook, but I'm going with Westgate. I'm rolling the dice with Westgate, and we'll find that out after. We'll find out. Teddy Covers. All right, I'm actually curious to see what they're going to deal. And, you know, we've been talking about, well, hey, listen, they're releasing their prop tonight in Las Vegas, but the props have already been released on FanDuel all week long. But the fact of the matter is, Jay Cornegay over at the Superbook, the dude is a legend. And you know he's going to come up with some interesting angles. He knows that he's being watched. He knows that other people have set numbers. And it gives him a little bit of a guideline, actually, right now. So I'm curious to see what they post, like some of the props. I don't know when the full drop is, actually. But normally Teddy hangs out for the full hour and we yell at each other. We insult each other and stuff like that. But tonight he's more like he's a reporter on the scene for us. He's more of a reporter on the scene. Like, big prop drop. Prop drop. All right, it's the prop drop. Teddy Covers, straight from the strip of Las Vegas, Nevada. Rich Hammond's going to join us from Los Angeles. Rich Hammond of The Athletic. Big fan of Rich. And, you know, it's like Rich Hammond. I'm thinking, yeah, man, me and Rich have been talking for a long time, man. I remember he used to do a Kings podcast like a long time ago. Now he's big time, does a great job with The Athletic. So Rich Hammond will step up and kick it with us. We'll talk about the Super Bowl. He also does a Rams podcast. So we'll talk about the Super Bowl. We'll talk a little NHL hockey with Rich Hammond. Big card Julio. Well, the name speaks for itself. Julio Rosario on the radar. And it's the Olympics, so we'll see. I don't know. Is Julio ready to go? I mean, big card Julio, sometimes this guy's got, like, he's got, like, 72 picks sometimes and stuff. So I believe, like, everything's sort of going on right now. I've tapped out. I officially tapped out of the Olympics before they've started. I'm out. bad taste in my mouth after losing a couple hundred bucks betting on curling yesterday. Nah, but we did end strong with the ice hockey last night. And the Olympics are off and running, I guess. Like, I don't know, man. Like, you know, you can't listen to NBC. Who knows when they're going to air the opening ceremony in 2 weeks, I think. Right? Like, you know, what's live? What isn't? What time is it there? Not to mention, man, like China, they're hosting the Olympics, but they're also trying not to have like World War III breakout during the Olympics. So I saw the president of China was meeting with Putin today, telling him to back off, right? Because, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world, including the Lakers and the Clippers. 94-90 right now. The Lakers going on a little bit of a run here, and a lot of basketball left here as well. Clippers are they're a weird team, man. They're up, they're down in the same game. That's what they do. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. Countdown to Super Bowl 56 is on. We're breaking it down. The Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Teddy Covers going to step up and in straight from the strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. He's on the scene for us right now. It's a big prop drop night tonight on the strip. The legendary Jay Cornegay releases his props. Listen, man, this is like a premiere. The premiere already happened on the East Coast, all right? FanDuel already dropped a bunch of props for this game. But Jay Cornegay's been around a long time. So, you know, Cornegay's going to step up, and Cornegay's going to, you know, counterpunch, and I'm curious to see what he's come up with and see what the numbers are on the West Coast. We've got line movement. This football game, man, it's starting to take some action right now. Speaking of FanDuel, Cincinnati Bengals are now getting 4 again. It was 4.5, and, you know, I'm going to stop, like, giving advice and telling people what I think about which way this point spread's going to go because I don't know anymore. I don't know. You know, I got to 4.5, and I'm thinking, at first, I'm like, man, there's no way it's going to go to 5. Then I'm like, yeah, I guess it's going to 5. Everyone loves the Rams. And now it's like, it's back down to 4 right now. I am convinced that this total is going to go up, but it's still 48.5 right now, and we're going to put it in tonight. We're going to put it in live on the show. We're jumping a shark live. All right, we're going to put it in live. We've already got a bunch of Super Bets, Bowl bets in, and we attacked this tonight. And if you tuned in earlier on Game Time Decisions, weekdays at 6 o'clock, SiriusXM Channel 159, Sports Grid Radio and Television Networks, I was the only one hardcore enough to, I think, even knew that the Shrine Bowl was going on. And anybody that's been tuning into this show for 20 years now knows. And, well, you know what? There's a lot of people that don't know anything. But anybody that pays attention knows we are a football all-star game maven. All right? This is what we do. These stupid events that nobody wants to bet on. I'm not betting on. It's this and that. Oh, it's an all-star game. It's a college football all-star game. Yeah, it's a college football game between a bunch of kids that are playing to try to get drafted in the National Football League. This isn't an all-star game with a bunch of slam dunks and high fives. They were trying to kill each other. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
All right, let's roll the Thursday night throwdown. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. We're kicking it. Teddy Covers will step up and in a couple of moments time. He's on location on the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Countdown to Super Bowl 56 is on. This week has actually gone by pretty quickly with all the chaos that's going on in the sports world and the real world. Here we are right now. I told you guys, boom. And then next week it gets real. And next week we'll be on Media Row all week long. We've got a great, we've got a million guests going to be joining us. Going to be off the hook on specifically on Game Time Decisions. Man, we've got Ryan Leaf joining us on the set. We've got Pac-Man Jones joining us on the set. We got Solomon Wilcox joining us. We got DeQuell Jackson, Eric Metcalf. We can go on. It's gonna be crazy. So yeah, next week's gonna be crazy. We'll get a million different opinions on the game from the Super Bowl champions, guys that have been on these teams, and all that other cool stuff. We'll check in with a bunch of all of our regular guests and handicappers. Although I'm putting everybody on alert, like next week. My patience with everything, you know, is sort of thinner, as is already, just in general. So, you know, everyone's on alert. Like, this week, well, I haven't done this next week. Like, all guests will be warned before they come on the show. Unless you have, like, a bunch of stuff for us, we're not having you on. Like, you know, time is limited. I don't want to hear about, like, just this and that. And, you know, I don't want to hear a breakdown of both sides. I don't want to hear, like, you know, I don't want to hear the low-hanging fruit takes. We just want straight for the jugular picks, all right? Give me something I can use. Give us something we can use. Give us something we can bet on, all right? Make us smarter or make us richer. So speaking of Super Bowl 56, some fascinating numbers when you start to look at Joe Cool. And I get it, Joe Cool is Joe Namath, but if Joe Burrow pulls this off, this guy is Joe Camel, he's Joe Cool, and he's Joe whatever the hell you want to call him, all right? Because he's close to doing something that nobody's ever done before. Win the Heisman, win the national championship, win the Super Bowl. People have come close, But as I always say, whatever, close doesn't count. Close counts, they say it counts in horseshoes, hand grenades, and lap dancing. Then it counts. But close, you know what I'm saying? Can Joe Burrow really pull this off? Like, if you really put it in context, if he does, I'm just sort of thinking, all right, if he really wins this, like Joe Burrow's status, you know, his status just is legendary. You know, to do it this quickly, too. I mean, don't forget, the kid only played, he played in 10 games last year. He missed 6 games. So he's almost sort of a rookie, but he kind of isn't. Yet, it's easy to get enamored with the Bengals story. Yet the fact of the matter is, the Rams are the better football team, right? The Rams are the better football team, right? Like, and if you look at the matchups and you break it down, the Rams have an advantage pretty much everywhere. They kind of do. Yet at the same point in time, so what, right? You know what I mean? So what? Like, the Cincinnati Bengals have found a way to get here right now, and they've done a good job of finding a way to win football games despite some of their weaknesses, and it's hard to just write them off right now. All this to say, I think, you know, this is going to be a great Super Bowl. It really is. Like, some Super Bowls are just sort of whatever. You've got to sort of, you know, fake getting into it, or, you know, you just put a ton of money on it. But this legitimately is a great just football matchup. Just think about the wide receivers alone, guys. Just think about the wide receivers alone. I mean, between Cooper Kupp and Ja'Marr Chase, you're talking about the number one and number two guys, which that's never happened in the Super Bowl, where the number one and number two guys in the playoffs and the regular season have played in the Super Bowl. You know, it's only the second time you've got number one draft picks playing against each other. You have the youngest coaches. Then you throw in Odell Beckham, T. Higgins. You know, people forget about T. Higgins. T. Higgins is an amazing football player. This guy's a champion, right? And even got Boyd after the fact, kind of a forgotten man as well. So this is something that's going to make some of you feel old. Some of you are like, whatever, I wasn't even born then. But this is, you know, it's kind of crazy. This is the first time Los Angeles is hosting the Super Bowl in 29 years. And in that Super Bowl, and I remember this, unfortunately, pretty vividly, it was the Dallas Cowboys beat the Buffalo Bills 52-17. Now, that football game was remembered for a couple of things. Number one, the Buffalo Bills losing for the third time in a row in the Super Bowl. That was after the Washington one. All right, so they remembered, it was like, oh boy. That was the rough one, right? You know, you lose to the Giants on a missed field goal. Washington one kind of got away from them. And then, boom, they got absolutely smashed and murdered by the Dallas Cowboys. So that game was remembered for basically the Bills getting routed. Leon Lett was returning a touchdown. And Dom Beebe, I believe it was, like, ran down the field and knocked it out of his hands. And people gave him the old, oh, what grit and effort. Even though they're getting killed, he still competed. Trust me, as a Buffalo Bill fan and as someone to bet on him that day, I didn't care. I was like, whatever, bro. Yeah, be a hero now. Good for you. I actually looked at the opposite. I was like, yeah, whatever, man. You know, we're losing 52-17. Does it really matter? Like, that you just hustled your ass off? Like, I didn't want, you know, at that point, like, I don't care. I am a hustle type of guy, but at that point, it's like, whatever, bro. This is humiliating, and it doesn't really matter, okay? So, but, yeah, you just became a folk hero, so good for you. But that game is most remembered. That was a Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson headlined the halftime show, and it just blows my mind, man. 133.4 million people watched the halftime show. That's, like, unheard of now. It's like half of America at the time was watching Michael Jackson. And I tell you, it was more entertaining than the football game was. That was, like, the start of the over-the-top halftime shows. That was the one that sort of they were like, oh, we should get to look what happened here. Look, we got 133 million people watching. And then now here we are. Here we are now. So as far as the spread is concerned, you know, I'm glad that it's coming down a little bit. And, people that know me know I don't hedge. You know what I mean? Even, we don't hedge in big circumstances. I'm not going to say I've never done it in my life. But I generally, listen, if you need the money, do it. Like, I'm not judging people. I should clarify that. Like, I'm not like, oh, I don't hedge for wimps or something. No, if you need the money, and I don't say that like as a jerk, you need the money, but it's like, yeah, no, I need this money. I got to flip this over. I'm doing this. Fine. I totally get it. But I don't like canceling out bets, right? I don't like already having a bet and taking another bet and knowing that only one of them could lose and I needed to, do this or that. And like, I'm not a fan of that. But what I have done with this Super Bowl, and you need patience and a little bit of a bankroll, I guess, to do it. Something of which I've never had in my life. I've had bankrolls, but they've lasted very, very briefly. And patience, no, never had it. But I'm basically stockpiling Super Bowl back-end bets right now. And what I did tonight, I played a 10-point teaser with the Shrine Bowl. I actually won both legs. Now I had the Bengals plus 14.5. Then I came back with the Arizona Wildcats on the money line parlay with the Rams. You see what I did? I got Rams money line, Bengals plus 14.5 more on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You want some of this, don't you?
Yeah!
Well, you need to know the winner. And I know the winner. So call me now.
Whoa!
$5 for the first minute, $2 for each additional minute.
You have reached the coach's hot
line. Yeah, lay it on me, coach.
In the game of my MMA versus
Cincinnati. Cincinnati.
That.
Cincinnati. Come on. Don't you realize this is costing me money?
Oh, yeah, the late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Rensi. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. We've got Teddy Covers on the radar. He's at the Westgate right now. The props are set to be dropped. I'm curious to see what they do and what Cornegate comes up with. We've got craziness going on in the late night hours here right now with the Clippers and the Lakers, as expected. I probably should have jumped in on the Lakers when they were getting some points in this game a couple of moments ago. But as I stated, I'm preoccupied with the Super Bowl. We did have a million bets tonight as well, but I am Gable Morency. And as I stated earlier, I don't like hedging bets. I don't like, I'm not a big middler and stuff. I needed to land on this and I needed to land on that. But when it comes to the Super Bowl here, trust me, I've learned my lesson going all in on one team. All right. I've learned my lesson going all in on one team over the years. And I think, we're going to have a deep prop portfolio for this game. But coming into this, I don't think, I don't think the Rams are good. If the Rams win, I wouldn't be shocked if the Rams won by 10 points, right? But I don't think the Rams are going to smoke the Bengals. So getting I've got Cincinnati right now at plus 14.5. And if you tuned into Game Time Decisions earlier, we talked about it. We said, listen, a 10-point teaser. I can't believe they let us do it, actually. Like, it's funny because a lot of people see me do these things and think, oh, this guy's crazy, or that's a crazy degenerate bet or whatever. It's like, no, it's actually a super smart bet that I'm shocked they're letting me do it. I'm telling you what, if I don't even want to say this out loud, but if I was running the book, I'd be like, I'm not letting this dude take 10 points in a college football all-star game in which they always go under and there's no points, add 10 points to it with the Super Bowl, right? But hey, I was like, all right, let's put 300 on it and see what happens. Boom. So we got in and we had the West tonight in the Shrine game on the money line as we gave it to you last night. We gave it on the TV show tonight. So it was pretty nuts. They were smoking them, but they only ended up winning by one. So it's a good thing we moneylined it because they were laying three. So the East came back late. It was actually a crazy fun football game. And so we hit that. We hit the money line. But we had the West plus seven, and we had under 55 in the game as well. So it was a nice night of all-star football, as it always is. And it will be again with the Senior Bowl on Saturday. So we wanted to make a little money on the game tonight. So we did. We attacked. We put $200 on the game. And then we put $300. Oh, we've got a final score. Clippers win. 111-110. 111-110. Final score. Anthony Davis keeled over like it's a playoff loss. The agony of defeat. Meanwhile, Reggie Jackson right now is, I don't know what he's doing. Reggie Jackson's dancing. Right, I was just saying, not like they won the championship. I'm like, he's like on America's Got Talent. Reggie Jackson just did some crazy ass dance like in the floor, but hey, why not? Reggie. Wow. And Anthony Davis, just for the record, Anthony Davis is so distraught because Reggie hit a shot. Davis took it down the floor, had the look, and the ball just wouldn't fall. The ball wouldn't drop. I swear to God right now, but you'd think it was a playoff series. They're all hugging each other, shaking hands. It's like you'd think to play like that, someone just won a playoff series. Look at Reggie Jackson. He's got like, he's like a wrestler. He's got like 18 Japanese photographers around him. It's like the old wrestling. Like seriously, he's at the Grammys right now. It's like the old wrestling days. All the fake photographers, like say, like Reggie Jackson. You'd think he's the MVP of the All-Star game right now, guys. If you see like the hype. Big win, Matthias. You like that, giving it to Laker Nation like that? Yeah, you just step up. You're a Clipper fan. Pump up your chest a little here.
Gabe, big win for the Clips. Big win for the Clips no matter what, man. You know, definitely undermanned. No Kawhi Leonard, no Paul George. And you know that the Laker fans in L.A. are all over Clipper fans every single day telling them, look at the banners, bro. Look at the banners, bro. Look at the banners. Let's just look at the record for the last, you know, for the last decade. It's been all Clippers and practically no Lakers. So that's the real reasoning. I know that they got to win something. But you know what? The Clippers have dominated them in this whole decade, and the Lakers need to beat the Clippers more because it's starting to get repetitive.
Okay, listen, we're tipping your cap. We'll tip the cap to the Clippers for this win tonight, but I wouldn't be going back about wins and all that, especially considering, you know, like I said, they just won a title. Although people have forgotten about that title already. People have short memories now with this stuff. Used to be you won a title and people would give you respect for like 5 years for it. You know what I mean? Seriously, you'd get respect for like, you know what I mean, 5 years. It's like, yeah, you won a title. And look at a great example, Doug Peterson. Great example is Doug Peterson, who just was hired in Jacksonville. And I, you know, whatever. I'm not going to flip out about the hire or anything like that. Peterson was liked by a lot of people, and I don't know. There's like there's a million sides to every story, right? There's a million sides to every story. Like, did Peterson get, you know, like, I always thought Frank Reich was kind of the brains in Philadelphia when they won the Super Bowl. And then when Frank Reich left, you notice Philadelphia weren't quite as good. But it doesn't mean that Peterson's not a good coach. But point is, look at, like, Peterson. He won a Super Bowl in Philly, man. They ran his ass out of town, what, 2 years later? I'm a Toronto Raptor fan. I've shown impatience, like, you know, yeah, they won. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm all like, it feels like it was recent. It's like, that was 2019, wasn't it? I've got a banner behind me, actually, and I see, yes, it was 2019. So it's like, yeah, all right. You know what I mean? Like, but, you know, I believe in that. Like, you know, it should be some goodwill. Should be some goodwill for some, you know, some years after you win, but not a lot of goodwill. Look at, they want to throw Vogel, right? Remember, all Vogel's on the hot seat. He just won the title 2 years ago. Right? Oh, no, Vogel's fault. And Laker haters are settled down, Martine. It's the guys in the Bay Area. You guys never stop, huh? You guys just never stop. The Bay Area, the LA. I'm going to give you guys credit, though. Like, the passion and the level of hate that the Bay Area fan has for all things LA is super consistent. I'm just saying, like, you know what I mean? Like, look, man, I'm a diehard Michigan fan. Even I don't even care about Ohio State. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't care. Like, I remember being at a Dodger-Giant game in, like, 1980, I don't know, in Fernando Valenzuela, like, in the second, you know, the second leg type thing. I was at the no-hitter, whatever, 1990, 91, whatever. In that era, I remember it was the Giants. I was like, man, these people just, like, you know, they had the Beat LA chant going and stuff. Somebody told me, he goes, people from San Francisco hate LA. People from LA don't know where San Francisco is. And I was like, man, I was like, well, that's why they hate you so much, right? And Jimmy G's not playing anymore, right? It's no more Jimmy G. And we're banning the next person that talks about Jimmy G in this chat. You guys killed me all year with your Jimmy G talk. You're done. He's done. All right, well, let's see where Jimmy G pops up. It'll be an interesting, I don't know, you know what? Just the Pittsburgh? Jimmy G in Pittsburgh? I just said we're not talking about Jimmy G, and I just opened a Pandora's box, so I'm closing it. Next subject. we're closing it. But this all started because Matias starts bad-mouthing the Lakers because they won one damn game tonight. The Clippers won a game. All right. So speaking of the NBA, the reserves were named tonight. And it's pretty cool, actually. Fred VanVleet of the Toronto Raptors. This guy's been balling, man. All right. Fred VanVleet has been absolutely balling, and the Raptors only have 500 fans at their games. I believe it's changing, like, shortly. I don't know, whatever. I don't know what the hell's going on there, right? So, nevertheless, they had 500 fans. So he did not know that he was named to the All-Star team. And a fan told him, actually. The fans, that's what's cool. If you're one of the 500 fans, like, you can say something to the players. They're totally going to hear you. Man, I want to go to one of those games when there's 500 fans, actually. I'd be like, yo, Trent, take another three. I need you to hit one more three. I've been asked by security to shut up and calm down next to NBA benches before, in which I'm not heckling them, though. I'm not heckling. I once started yelling at Jonas Valanciunas to play better defense. Like, I didn't call him names and stuff, but I was like, bro, man, come on, man. I was like, and he looked at me, and someone told me, they're like, listen, don't tell the players what to do, all right? I was like, yeah, all right.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And you know what? It'll be nice having a little extra cash to bet on college football. Yeah, I'd like to bet $100.
You want to pick a team?
No, just take it.
The late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. I'm seeing the guy, the Meyer guy, Timo Meyer, the guy in the San Jose Sharks. There's like highlights going on. He scored a bunch of goals and stuff, and I'm just seeing people throwing hats on the ice, and so I don't understand that. I've never understood that. Like, hey, this dude that's making $3-4 million a year just scored a goal. Let me throw the $48 hat I just bought on the ice. I guess, I don't know, did they give him the charity? Who wants to wear a used hat anyways? And I don't know. I think some arenas, maybe you can get your hat back, but I never understood the whole let's throw my hat on the ice thing. Like, if somebody scores 50 points in an NBA game, are you throwing your hat on the court and giving it away? No. Let's bring in Teddy Covers right now. On the scene, he's like a reporter. He's on the scene for himself, not just for us, but for himself. So Teddy Covers, the legend. Wait your talk. How you doing, Teddy?
I'm doing great. But so, what about the octopus? Do they still do that in Detroit, where they were throwing the octopus on the ice? Those were like expensive.
Yeah,
you know,
they had
nothing compared to a live octopus, or you know. I mean, it was, they used to throw a bunch of them. It was like a big thing. They would like sneak the octopuses in and throw them on the ice.
They stopped it. Like they were like, yeah, you can't be throwing. Like everything's politically, you know what I mean, with the current times. Plus, they're not good anymore. Like they need to win. like if they win, and then of course, Teddy, we know what they do in Buffalo, right? They throw dildos on the field. That's their tradition.
Sure, it's a little different. Yeah. So, but, I mean, you know, back in the day, Detroit was hockey town. You know, I mean.
Yeah, no, good call though. Yeah, they used to throw the octopus, and I always thought about that, Teddy. Well, yeah, what do you? How do you get that in, man? What are you putting in your pants, bro? You know what I mean, Teddy? Like, because they didn't like it, right? They didn't
it. No, they had to sneak them. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
You definitely like, had to sneak them. So,
yeah.
And that's in the playoffs, so it's in the spring or the summer, so it's not like you have a big, like in the winter, you're heavy
guess. It's not frozen, yeah. Let's bring a frozen.
In the spring, there's only, you know, it's in the pants. That's the only realistic option.
What's in your pants, sir? Just an octopus. Or are you just happy to see me? Or are you just happy to see me?
You got an octopus or just glad to see me?
Teddy. All right, Teddy. So are you I said earlier you could offer me $10,000, and I probably, is it the Westgate? Is it the LVH? Is it the Hilton? Is it the anymore? But I know it's a Superbook, but the place is called the Westgate still, I believe. Is that where you are? Are you at the Superbook right now?
Yeah. I'm actually just outside.
Yeah,
it'd be better to do it in my car. And we finished up in there, you know, so it's all good. But yeah, it's the Westgate Race and Sportsbook, the Westgate Superbook, off the strip in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada.
So I'm more fascinated than the actual numbers. Yeah, I know the parking lot well where you are. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I know you do.
I almost feel it right now. I just actually, you brought me there. So what is it, Judge Joe Brown way? I always thought it was Judge Joe Brown. They're like, no, it's another Joe Brown. I was like,
yeah, it's the other, W. Brown.
Yeah. Guys, in Vegas is Joe Brown. I'm like, what, is that the judge? He's got a street named after him. And they're like, no, it's a local, another guy. But I was more—I almost look at it like the conversations you had with people there, right? Just to get the feel of the book, and people are out there. So, what was the turnout? Number one, what was the turnout like?
So I gotta tell you, man, I'm disappointed. Disappointed is not the right word, but if ever there was a night that showed how far Vegas is behind the rest of the world in props, maybe tonight was that night, because there was there was a little line. There were, you know, a couple of dozen guys. It was, you know, I've seen the line out the door. I've seen hundreds of people in here, and it wasn't that tonight. And that's because other books came out with numbers earlier.
Yeah, so.
And the guys who I was talking to, most of what they were betting were scalps. You know, the Westgate opens this, someone else opened it at a different number, boom.
They were just there to bet something that they already bet. And if it was there for them, if they would bet it. If not, no. Hey, they're like shrewd sharks.
let me give you an example, okay? So the total number of Bengals with a rush attempt, all right? The right number is 4, all right? Everyone's betting under 4 because there's no way there's going to be 5, right? The under 4, heavy juice on the under. But Westgate opened 3.5.
Wow.
Now there's heavy juice on the over at the Westgate, so over 3.5 Bengals with a rush attempt, because the right number is 4, 4 is going to push, and they're not going to take any money on the over 4, and they're not going to take any under money on the 3.5, and that half a rusher is worth, what, $3, $4? You know? So, you know, it's like all you can eat at over 3.5. Even at minus 160, minus 180, they'll take it at $2. And they're betting the same prop with the under 4 and laying juice there because it can only land 4. It's likely to land 4. I should say it can only land 4. But it's likely to land 4.
So let me ask you, do you have, I'm assuming you got the sheet. Do you have a sheet in your hand here? Like Super Bowl MVP?
No, I do not.
Oh, no? No, okay.
There's no sheets. I actually have
my phone.
But the first night, there's no sheet. So, yeah, exactly.
It's like menus now, huh?
Tomorrow.
I hate that. I go into a restaurant. I'm like, you have a menu? They're like, scan it. I'm like, what does that mean? I'm like, what does that mean? I don't know what it means. It's like,
oh, yeah. I'm an old guy. Yeah.
Thank you.
exactly. But I know I snapped a picture of the MVP, but I'm not going to take the phone away from my ear to look for it.
Yeah. No, I get it. So what was the... Because the number, dude, at FanDuel was 4.5, and it's 4 again right now. It was 4, and it was 4.5, and it's 4 again right now. And I quote you, and I'll admit more than you even. Like, I've given up on guessing where these lines go now. The market's too all over the place. It's spread out. I don't know if there's head fakes. What the hell is going on? I'm waiting for the total to bounce back up right now. I don't think it's going to stay at 48.5. So what do you think? What was the number there? Is it 4, 4.5? What's the feeling on the West Coast? And I wanted to ask you, from people you respect or the buzz that you got from just being around and talking to people, are they liking the Rams or the Bengals? What's like, is there like a prevailing sort of thought that, they're wrong or they're the right? What was the thought process there?
So let's talk about this for a minute, because it's definitely worth a moment or two of discussion. Right now, you can find a 4 for L.A. You can find a 4.5 with Cincinnati. Nobody that I talk to expects it to go under 4, and nobody expects it to. They're like, it could go to 5, but I don't think it's going to get there.
Yeah.
People, there is something of a sharp square divide on this game. The pros do like L.A.'s statistical profile, and they like the matchup of the Rams' defensive line against the Bengals' offensive line. The Joes have seen Cincinnati cash, three straight tickets here in the postseason, the last two as underdogs.
The Joes like Joe. The Joes like a guy like Joe.
And of course, they watched the Rams not cover against San Fran last time out. So there's a thought process that the line's going to go up when the wise guys are betting, and then it's going to come right back down on game day or on the weekend prior to the game when they're expecting a little bit more Cincinnati money. From a total standpoint, you nailed it. All the early money, all the sharp money came in on the under. Once the recreational bettors bet this the weekend of the game, they expect the number to move right back up. So all the line movement we've seen so far one way with a little bit of Rams money and a little bit of under money may well go back the other way before kickoff.
So you agree with my take. So if you like this over 48.5 now, don't screw around and wait, right? It's not going to 48,
right?
So you bet it now.
I agree wholeheartedly. Yeah, if you like the over, bet it now. If you like the under, there's no urgency. If you like the Bengals, I find a 4.5 now. If you like the Rams, again, you find a 4 now. I don't know you're going to find anything better than that. And when I say there's a sharp square divide for the game, it really does look like the pros like the Rams side of this, and I can go through 15 other Super Bowls where the pros like the wrong side, like this one.
I know, that's right. It is true, though, when you get into those stats, though, like yards per play, Rams are second in the league, Bengals are eighth in the league. Opponents' yards per play. Rams rank 6, 5.2, Bengals rank 23rd, right? Like, it's from a stat line sheet stuff. I totally get that. But as you know, the game isn't played with the stats. How do you feel about Stafford right now? Are you a converter, or like, are you converted, or is it like, well, he's got one more? I'm almost like, well, you got one more, bro.
I'm not going to say he single-handedly did everything that he could to lose the game, but...
remember when he fumbled even late? I was like, bro, like the ball bounced up to him. I'm like, oh, my God.
He really tried to lose that game. And remember, Stafford threw the game-losing interception to Tart last week, and Tart dropped it. That was a game loser. Game over. San Fran, it would have been a pick six, I believe it was. And your boy dropped it. So... no question in my mind who the better quarterback is, and it's not on the not the team who's favored.
How do you feel about Matt Stafford throwing an interception? We talked about this prop with Paul Povey. It's -148. Like, that's, you got to let the juice that he actually is. The expectation is Matt Stafford will throw an interception in this game.
Sure, and this much I'm confident of. Okay, I don't think either coach wants to throw the football as much as they have in the postseason. Both teams,
yeah,
they're going
yeah.
in with a game plan They want to run the football. And if the Rams get off to a lead, this could be like a Jimmy G type of game or a Mac Jones type of game where the quarterback only throws five times. You know, I don't know that I love Stafford throwing a pick. Not at minus 148.
Was there a prop? You talked about the over-under of Bengal players that would have a rushing attempt, but was there another prop that caught your eyes? But, you know, you're like, you know what? I'm liking in this. Or a Super Bowl prop that you usually bet on a yearly basis.
Sure. Well, we're going to bet. We got a bunch of stuff for kickoffs. How much time do I got?
You got time. You got time. But no, we still got time. Yeah, bring it on. Kickoffs. Right. Hey, what do you got?
All right. Good. Okay. So opening kickoff, not to be a touchback. We Ooh. Like that. That's actually
okay.
Cashed, what, 18 of the last 20. That's been really good.
And it doesn't have to be returned. Maybe if he kicks it out of bounds, as we see guys have been doing sometimes. That's not a return. So there's a different options for it. I like it. All right. So opening kickoff, you say it won't be a touchback.
Correct.
Does it matter which kicker? So you're not worried about which kicker it does? No? All right.
I'm not in the slightest. McPherson and Gabe both combined. They're both in the low 60s in terms of touchback rate. But for whatever reason, the opening kick, the returner's juice, they tend to run that ball out of the end zone.
Yeah, yeah. They're in the Super Bowl. They're taking their shot, Teddy. You know what I'm saying? Exactly.
Yeah. Now, the game's supposed to have, it's lined at having 11 kickoffs, okay? Even though I like the opening kick return, or the opening not to be a touchback, I also like the under 5.5 kick returns, kickoff returns. 11 kickoffs, 5.5 kick returns. And that's because after the opening tip, we expect a whole lot of touchbacks because both of these kickers have huge legs and do touchbacks, you know, again, they combine 62% of the time. That's not priced into the number. So opening kickoff not to be a touchback under 5.5 kickoff returns, even though those two bets actually go against one another.
What do you, I like where you're coming, man, Teddy. This is what I'm talking about. I said earlier, our guests better bring some real info next week with Super Bowl stuff. Otherwise, they're not getting on. You're bringing this, Teddy. This is A-level stuff. Love it. You're talking about like over under 5.5, like touchbacks and like, you know, the first one, yes and no. All right, Teddy, now the music is playing. Teddy Covers Wager Talk. Great stuff, Teddy. Thank you for checking in with us. So we'll speak one more time next week, right before the game, and we'll go down to final picks and props. But thank you for stepping up and joining us from the book, man.
Hey, pleasure's all mine, man. Look forward to next week.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, heads up, everybody. Heads up. Charles Oakley is on the warpath. Charles Oakley's got a new book, The Last Enforcer. And as expected, Charles Oakley does not hold back. Charles Oakley's target, Charles Barkley of all people. Charles Barkley. As he writes, he's not close with Michael Jordan no more. I should note he's got a book out and he did an interview with GQ magazine, and it's about, you know, it's about the book and what he talks about. He talks about Charles Barkley. He's not close with Michael no more. I don't know who he's really on good terms with now. Charles Oakley says about Charles Barkley. So I know he wants to come to the cookout and play 18 holes with us, but we're not inviting him no more. He's out. You act up, you go stand in the corner with one leg in the air. That's Charles. He's in the corner of the playground by himself. You can see him because he's kind of big. Oakley also said that he never punched Barkley at a late 1990s Players Association meeting, contrary to popular belief. I did, however, slap the crap out of him. Oakley said, when it comes to fighting, someone starts it, I end it. The former forward who played with the Bulls, Raptors, Wizards, and Rockets was known for his aggressive play. In the interview with GQ, Oakley said he had no issue, though, with Charles Barkley. He probably got an issue with me. Why Oak always got to talk about me? Same way you talk about all these young kids now trying to make a living for themselves. You criticize them every night. Why can't somebody criticize you? You were an ass when you played. Great talent. But ask anybody he played with. He was an ass to play with. It was never about teamwork. It was always about him. So, hey, it is what it is. I once saw Charles Oakley in a bar, man. He was dressed like a pimp. He had a cane and like a fur coat on. I ran to the other side of the room, man. That guy's scary.